The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday.
Or maybe even 4 p.m. on some idle Thursday. Who knows? But everyone's free to wear sunscreen was a massive hit when Baz Luhrmann released it. It gives advice, as you can hear, on how to live, how to enjoy the power and beauty of your youth, don't worry about the future. The lyrics are, in fact, from an essay published in the Chicago Tribune in 1997. And the man delivering them in this very calm, assured voice.
Tony, with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults.
It was a bloke that Jive producer Elizabeth Green thought was Jack Nicholson for a long, long time. But in fact, he's an Australian. We've tracked him down. Lee Perry, welcome to Jive.
Chris, how are you?
Very well, thank you. I feel like I'm a little under pressure because I know that you do voiceovers professionally for a living. So it's just no pressure here from somebody who's been in the industry for what, how many years?
Oh, more than 20 years.
More than 20 years.
More than 20 years.
Now, how did you come to do the sunscreen song?
Well, it was just another job. I just got a call from my agent saying Baz Luhrmann wanted to meet me to discuss creating a voice for the sunscreen song. So I went over to his place of work and he briefed me on the voice. And as he was briefing me, this voice was kind of coming into my head, an old American voice that had been through the mill, that had gathered a lot of life experience to deliver the words in a very kind of non-selly way. So that's how it kind of started, and this voice just came into my head as I read the words.
So at this point, when you were going to do an old American voice, how old were you?
Oh, I think I was in my late 20s. So it was actually, you know, vocal gymnastics at the point to try to, at that point, trying to sound older. It's a lot easier to sound that way now.
Yeah, let's just have a listen to this. So you were, what, late 20s and you did this?
Yeah.
Don't worry about the future. Worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubble gum.
So when you say you had to use vocal gymnastics, what does that involve?
Well, you've got to contort your vocal cords to produce that sound, so it was just a bit difficult
and what
to maintain it for so long.
What did Baz say when you said, oh, this is what I'm thinking?
Yeah, I think, you know, it didn't take very long. We just we thought, yeah, that's the voice. I like that voice. So we kind of recorded it. I think it was less than 2 hours.
So did you do it in one take? Because
yeah,
it's a 4.5 minute song.
Yeah, no, we did a few takes, but we recorded it quite informally at where we were. I think it was this little handheld recording device, and no one knew it was going to do what it did. So it was it's almost like a fluke.
Were you surprised?
I was actually, yeah, I was very surprised. I mean, the original song was about 7 minutes long. It was too long to be played on a radio station because a radio producer in Portland did an edit on the song and edited out Quentin's vocals, the chorus, and that shortened it to about 5 minutes. And then he shared it with other radio producers and everyone started playing it and requesting it, and it just took off.
And did the advice in the song resonate with you at the time?
Yeah, some lines did. I mean, some lines resonate more now than then. Be kind to your knees, you know, all kind of wise words. But I think the track itself, that sort of relaxed backing track that invokes, you know, your emotions, I think was essential. When you combine that with the words, it's like a musical score. You know, music makes something very powerful. So when you combine powerful words with music that makes you feel something, I think it stirred emotions in people, and, you know, each line resonated differently with people.
There's something quite meditative about the backing track. It's kind of trancy.
Yeah,
almost.
It's very trancy. It just puts you in a very relaxed, open, emotionally open state, so that you're ready to receive the words and interpret them, you know, as you relate to your own life.
So do you get asked to do this at dinner parties?
No one really knows. No one really knows. So, you know, even now I was at a recording studio and I said, oh, I'm doing an interview this afternoon about the sunscreen song. And I was that you? So no one, you know, not many people know about it.
So did you not get a credit on the track?
Yeah, I think there was a credit on the track, yeah.
Yeah. But they just called it the Sunscreen Song.
Yeah, they just called it the Sunscreen Song, and people liked it.
I'm talking to Lee Perry, who's the voice behind the Sunscreen Song, Unmasked, as you just heard. Not a lot of people know about it. So listening to ABC Sydney this afternoon, now you know. Sorry, Lee, I interrupted you. What were you going to say?
Well, I remember getting a call when we knew that it had taken off. I got a call from my agent saying, look, you're going to be on the Jay Leno show in 2 weeks. You better start rehearsing the song because you're going to perform it live, which, you know, freaked me out completely because you've got to time the words with the music. So if you go too fast, you're going to end before the music finishes. And if you go too slow, the music's going to stop before you stop speaking. So they gave me the backing track, which I rehearsed to. So I was taking musical cues. Okay, when this harmonica kicks in, I've got to be here. I've got to quicken up or slow down. But when I got to LA, they said, no, you're going to be doing it with a live band. So I had a couple of sessions to rehearse with a live band. And, of course, they were embellishing and doing different things with the harmonica, and I thought, oh, hang on, this you're at a different point. So I was kind of, you know, it was quite stressful thinking, is this going to work?
Yeah, especially live on the Jay Leno show. It's just got just a few viewers.
I was just hidden behind this lectern on the show, standing on this huge carpet, and but luckily it worked. So, you know, I didn't stuff up. I was just dreading, you know, making a fool of myself in front of, you know, 200 or 300 million Americans.
Well, you obviously didn't.
No, I passed.
Did your career take off after that, or was it already taken off?
I was already pretty busy. I had the opportunity to work in the States, and I got myself an agent over there, and I was doing a little bit of work while I was there. And they said, look, why don't you just move over here? You know, you'll do really well over here. But I just didn't want to leave Australia. It was a very big decision to make. You know, do I leave my country and go and work in America and probably never come back? And I chose not to. So, you know, I still do work for the States, and I have clients over there that I do work for. So I think I've got the best of both worlds, and I probably chose the right country.
Well, the net's probably made it a whole lot easier for you, I would imagine.
The internet, yeah, for sure.
What does it take to be a voiceover artist these days?
Well, you can't be paranoid. You can't be worried about not getting work because it's one of those jobs where you're freelance. So, you know, you're technically unemployed after every job. So if you're good, you'll be asked back. If not, you might not get a call for a while, and that makes people paranoid.
So what makes you good? What's the process of doing a voiceover for a client? Because it's very subjective.
It's subjective. Well, you just got to listen to the brief and try to read minds sometimes and know what clients want. The most fun part is working on films. So I've worked a lot with George Miller on Happy Feet 1 and 2 and
Mad Max. Who were you in Happy Feet? Which character were you in?
Various penguins. I was the zoo penguin. Get in the water, Dave. It's really real. That guy, the little penguin at the end. But I was lucky enough to work with Steve Irwin about 2 weeks before he died, which was, you know, I was really sad when that happened. But I remember him coming into the studio. I think we were a couple of elephant seals. And he was in a lather of sweat, you know, within about, you know, 2 minutes. But he just had this energy. He was just an amazing person to be around. And also was lucky enough to, you know, be there with Robin Williams too.
That would have been incredible.
Yeah, it was amazing. I remember talking to him and I'm thinking, I've really got to concentrate here because I'm freaking out that I'm actually 5 or 6 inches away, no, 2 feet away from Robin Williams. So he was amazing.
So if people listening to this thought they might want to be a voiceover artist, and I assume a lot of it involves an element of acting as well, what should they do?
Well, if you want to be an actor, you know, well, voiceovers is quite an insecure profession. You know, it can be rewarding, but it's not a stable profession. So it's got to be in you. I mean, I knew from a very early age that I was listening to how people were speaking. You know, I was in school and I wasn't always listening to the lesson, but I'd never miss how the teacher was expressing it through their voice. So I was just focused on sound, focused on how the teacher sounded, whether they had a speech impediment, whether they had an accent, and I was imprinting on that. It was involuntary. I just was drawn to it like a moth to a flame. And to this day, you know, voices fascinate me, the way people speak, their rhythm, their cadence, their accents. So that's what I knew I was into. So when I stepped into a studio for the first time, I thought, you know what, this is home. This is where I belong.
So you're obviously born to it. Lee Perry, it's been great having you in the studio with us.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Pleasure.
It's Lee Perry, a voiceover artist, and the voice behind the famous sunscreen song that was a huge hit in the 90s.